Hearts in Liverpool podcast, bringing you news, views, and reviews. Brought to you by Defnet Media and HeartInLiverpool.com. Presented by Neil Morin and Ian Jackson.
Hello and welcome to this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. And on this week's podcast, we bring you Attractiveness Increasing,
Thicket to Freud,
Ghost Stories. All coming up on this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. News. News this week, Ian, is I hear that the attractiveness of the city is increasing. Is that so? What's this attractiveness increasing? I know that with age, I'm getting much better looking. What about yourself?
Me too, yes. But Liverpool's only increasing its attractiveness on a biennial.
A bit like me.
Yes, they've released the figures, the economic impact figures. The Liverpool Biennial 2008, and as we probably expected, they're pretty good.
They are pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. It was Capital of Culture year, of course, and the barrel's getting bigger and more attractive every time anyway. It says it attracted 451,000 visitors who made 975,000 visits. So they all went to about 2 and a bit visits each.
Oh, I went to loads.
Yeah, me too. I went to most of them, in fact.
That means some people only went once.
Yeah, or less than once. Yeah.
Money.
Yes, that's a major point to make as well. The economic impact of £26.6 million. According to independent research, which has just been released.
I've got to say, that is absolutely fantastic. That is absolutely bloody fantastic. It's a small organisation, not very many employees. It receives, you know, public funding from Arts Council England, Liverpool City Council, the Development Agency, and smaller trusts and foundations. But from that money, it generates £26.6 million. That is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, yeah. As you say, they spend a bit, but that's probably about 10 times as much as they receive. I don't know what the figures are, which all comes into the city, so that's great. Lewis Biggs is obviously the artistic director, is obviously delighted and is quoted as saying how it shows how there's been a sea change in perceptions within and outside the city. Liverpool's investment in the excellence of the public art is now paying huge dividends in terms of economic and cultural regeneration. Like we were saying recently about when that big art programme was on Channel 4, and we noticed that people in the other cities were all coming to Liverpool to look at how to do public art. It's become known as a sort of centre of excellence of public art, hasn't it? Not because of those 10 weeks every 2 years, but throughout the year they're doing stuff, and it's great.
Do you know what I was thinking the other day? Just yesterday, I was actually going, it's not that 2010 is not that far away. It's kind of, you know, what, 5 months? 6 months, 5 months, however many months. It's not that far away. 2010 is going to be the next biennial. Already, there is another biennial quickly approaching.
Ah, yes, and lots of local artists and people are already thinking ahead, I hope. Certainly, the people in the biennial office are working hard on the next one, and they're doing a fair bit of stuff this year. In September, there's the urban project. Anyway, in the North Liverpool area, there's a lot going on by the canals up there.
I've seen some of that stuff. There's been lots of exciting things going on up there. But anyway, with those fantastic news, the Liverpool Visual Arts, I should say, Visual Arts, that's just the Liverpool biennial, generating that amount of money for the city. That's the news this week. Roundup of the week. Ian, rounding up the week that has just gone by. Clearly, one of the things which we should have spoken about during the news is Defnet Media TV, streaming on livestream.com. You won't be able to find it. You'll have to get to www.livestream.com/defnetmedia. If there's you want to get any stuff on there, let us know. We just started playing around with it, just see how it goes. But anyway, that's
actually, when you sent me the link, you had it as livestream.com. Could have been good, but nothing there.
That was the old version, Steam. It was all driven by Steam, but not these days. It's the old Mogulus. For those of you that know Mogulus, it was the old Mogulus site. Now renamed, rebranded, Livestream. Almost did it again. Anyway, rounding up the week, I've been busy with that. Ian, making movies, you know, doing that kind of thing. You've been going around art exhibitions, I take it, and you've been to see a fantastic one, which I haven't seen, Sick to Freud at the Walker.
Yes, this is one of the major shows that opened last week at the Walker, Sick to Freud, New Radicals. And it's, yeah, we wondered about the title, New Radicals. It's to do with, it actually covers most of the last century, I think. So they're not new in one sense, but they were radicals at their time. All the artists they'd chosen, as they covers the whole century, were trying new things. They were influenced by maybe the Impressionists or the Japanese things or other international things. They're all British artists, but I say they were trying new things. They're radical in the sense that they were experimenting and maybe causing a bit of a stir at the time. But and they're all these paintings are from the Walker's collection, their own collection. So you may have seen a lot of them. I've certainly seen most of them, but there's also some that have been in storage and they brought them out for the exhibition. And so they're in a new context, I suppose. You may have seen them, but not in this particular arrangement. And they've split it up into different sections. There's one called Groups and Gatherings, there's the Modernists, there's a Sense of Place, and there's Independent Spirits. And so, yeah, it includes Sickert and Freud and Lowry and what's his name? George Jardine, who actually went to Wallasey Art School. It's not Wallasey, Whittle. Yeah, it was Wallasey, wasn't it? Wallasey Art School. Which I remember well. I did night classes there a long time ago.
I think I know one of the Jardines, or at least I used to.
All right, okay. And who else? Lucian Freud, Cecil Collins. Yeah, loads of good stuff. There's one I especially remember from the Walker. It's that portrait of Mrs. Mounter, who just stares at you, very looking really miserable in a sort of impressionist way. You'll recognise if you see it. And Sickert's Bathers in Dieppe, and yeah, a lot of familiar ones. It's a good show. And so it was created by Anna Picantis, the main curator.
Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. But she was off sick on the day of the press view, so I did manage to speak to the assistant curator, Stephen White, and the director of galleries at NML, Ryan King.
Excellent. And what kind of years does this cover this work? It's kind of, late 1930s. What's the time scale?
I can't remember exactly, but yeah, from the early 20th century up until who's the most recent? People like Spencer and Freud, I suppose. So late 20th century.
No, it sounds like an absolute marvelous show, and somebody definitely to get along to. And I feel so that's Sickert to Freud at the Walker, and that goes on till the 20th of September. So there's plenty of time to see that. Now, what else has been going on this week?
Yep, busy night on Thursday as per usual. We went to Gostyn's building to see Keith Smith's watercolours. He does watercolours of Liverpool. Lots of the familiar scenes like cathedrals. There's a particularly good one of the Everyman with the cathedral in the background, the Metropolitan Cathedral, which might be an idea to buy that one because the Everyman will be demolished fairly soon and rebuilt. And they're really good and very popular. I mean, he sold quite a few on the day of the viewing and some prints as well. So that's good. It's on until the end of August.
So I see I've missed Fee Show 9. I missed Fee Show 9. I've missed the opening. I certainly haven't missed the show, have I? How was that?
Yeah, that was it. Good. This is the Fish Means Vision. It's a collection of Irish, really good contemporary Irish artists, organised by Derek Cully. Yeah, so there was eclectic exhibition. Something that really caught our eye was there's a guest artist. So I'm just trying to remember his name, something like Winner, who does these cubes, maybe about 30 centimeters each side, cubes made from acrylic, I think. So they're clear. It looks like glass, but it's actually acrylic, I think. So they're clear, but inside, in the center of the cube, there's some object or objects. There's one of them, a collection of spectacles, glasses, bound up in barbed wire. That he's one of his. He's very one of his major pieces. He says that is because it means a lot to him. And all kinds of things. They just look very nice, very fascinating. And yeah, there's abstract art and figurative art and more sculptures. Trying to remember what else. Anyway, yeah, it's good. Well, it's in the Agafar Gallery, which is the large gallery on the third floor at Novastia UC, where we had the art prize. So you'll know that big space. And so there's a lot to see there. Well worth a visit.
Excellent. I think that's the same room that it was in last year. Now, also, just round the corner, which I think the private view was taking place just at exactly the same time, the arena show. There's Neil. How is that?
That's right, yes. You avoid saying the artist's name, Anna Katskemeti. Anna Katskemeti, who is an arena artist. She's been had a studio there for a couple of years. And it's called Through My Window, and it's a solo show. It's at the arena, have quite a small gallery space at the end of their studios on the first floor of the elevator building around the back from Novas to UC. And there was a window in the gallery, but they've actually covered over the window, and so she's put a painting on that space there of the window that used to be there, and it looks like someone's sort of leaning out of it, so hence the title Through My Window, or Trip Through My Window. They're really nice. She does quite she paints onto bits of furniture, basically, like the seat of a chair or a bit of a table, mainly. And sometimes they're hinged, so they're like, propped up at strange angles. In fact, sometimes they do fall over or get knocked over by someone on the floor. So yeah, and it gets very crowded in there on a viewing, but it's such a small space. But she paints in acrylic, I think, quite detailed, and then varnishes quite a bit, so they're quite shiny. And it's very nice, and yeah, I can look at them for ages.
They had some. Had a really good review in the Metro as well. Yeah. Chris Brown, I think, gave them a really good review in there. So that's another good show. Do you know when that's on till?
It's fairly short, only a couple of weeks on till the 25th of July. And I think, I'll just check, it's not open every day. And as I say, it's on the first floor of the elevator, so it's not easy to get into. You have to go into Leaf Cafe on the ground floor. But they've now put a bell or buzzer or something near the lift. If you look to the side of the lift, there's a buzzer there, which you can buzz the taken up to the first floor, because there's a lot of secures there. And Thursdays to Saturdays, 11 till 5.
Okay, that's great. So that's Anna Katsumati, A Trip Through My Window at the Arena Gallery. Now, Andy Pryor painting Beatles on Beatles Day. Now, Beatles Day absolutely slipped me by, and there was wigs out, and there was all sorts, and I was going, wow, you know. I didn't take part in Beatles Day, but, however, somebody who's a bit more culturally active than me, Ian, tell us about Beatles Day, and did you wear a Beatles wig?
No, not this year. I did say somewhere a bit of an embarrassing day for Liverpool to be doing all this cheesy Beatles stuff, as if we haven't got enough already, and there is some good Beatles stuff, but this is all a bit silly. And we went around and had a look at a couple of things, and Andy Pryor does do these quite good graffiti style murals, and he was doing this one in the Cavern Walks, where there's a couple of cafes. There's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds Cafe, and there's another cafe, and in between that there's a blank space on the wall, so he painted it there. It was a good one of the better paintings of the Beatles, you'll see. And I'm not sure if it's going to stay there or going to be moved somewhere else. Be interesting to see.
I did see one of your photo. I'm not sure if it was your photo or Mina's photo, but I saw the photo. It was very good. It looked like really good work. Much better than some of the stuff that you've seen in the past, with reference to the Beatles. Now, also, Summer Exhibition at Resurrection, Saturday and Sunday. Oh, yeah, this was the show on Saturday or Sunday on Bowl Street in Resurrection.
That's right, yes. Saturday and Sunday in the space next to Resurrection, which, as I was saying, is going to be a sort of walkway through to the new Central Village development whenever it happens. At the moment, it's just an empty space, but with the stairs going upstairs. And I don't know why they don't have it downstairs. There must be some reason. It might not be allowed or something. But you have to go up the stairs into that space, and there's about a dozen or so stalls and some good work. There's Nathan Pendlebury, who's always at these events, and other arty, crafty stalls. I can't remember the names now, but it's all on the blog. Some really good work, and we've bought some stuff as usual. And there's going to be more later in the year. I think it's September, so look out for that.
That is then the roundup of the week. This week, Ian, as I can see from the notes before us, there is a great deal coming on. And before we move on to the ghostly stories, what else is coming up? Art is for everyone, which is very true and sounds very much like an Arts Council England byline. Great art for everyone. Tell us, Red Dot are at it again, and they're at it again at LCAD, aka CADT, aka LCAD, on 2A Francie Street, otherwise known as Brownlow Hill and Clarence Street, the corner there. Tell us about the show.
Yeah, that's the place, LCAD, by the corner of Clarence Street and Brownlow Hill, which is Red Dot. As you say, they've been very busy organising all kinds of workshops, exhibitions and so on. And this is the latest. An exhibition of artwork created by people with special needs from all over Merseyside. They did some courses, a week-long series of art-related workshops that Red Dot organised. And so this is work that was made during those workshops, and they're showing everything that was done. So everyone who's involved in that will be exhibiting their work, which is good. So the viewing is on this Tuesday evening, the 14th of July, 5:30 to 8. After that, I'm not sure how you get. I think you just go along and knock on the door, basically.
And then they let you in and you just get to see the work. That's really good. Sounds very good after a series of workshops. Moving on.
Just a one-off thing at the Royal Standard. There's this thing East, which from East International 2009 in Norwich. There's some videos. East Video. Not it's new work by East 07 award winner. Sorry, I don't have much details. Yeah, it's on Wednesday 15th from 7 till 9 at the World Standard, and it's just a evening of video, East Video.
Video is great. Do go along and see video. However, slightly better than video is something a little bit real life. In this case, Ghost Stories, a night opera by Neil Campbell. Now, Neil Campbell works at Liverpool Hope University, the Cornerstone Building, works there, does music teacher, music departments, music. I don't know what he does, but he teaches music. What's he's about then, Neil?
That's right, yeah, Neil Campbell, who, as well as teaching music at Hope University, does a lot of solo work and group work, and is always appearing at various venues around Liverpool and releasing CDs and all kinds. Very busy chap. And so he's doing this Ghost Stories and Night Opera in St. Luke's, the bombed-out church, on this Thursday, the 16th. Doors at 9 o'clock. Gosh, so it's a late one. They want it to be dark, obviously. I really have actually. They have actually live bats flying around the church. These are probably pipistrelles, to be more precise, if they're that time in the evening. So that makes it even more spooky. Yeah, so it's Neil Campbell and features soprano Anne Taft, and projected visuals as well, which are apparently very good by Sean Taft. So yeah, I'm not sure how you get. You've got to get.
12 quid. If you go along to the box office at the Unity Theatre, you pay there. Should be an absolutely brilliant night, full of stunning visuals. Now, also that same night, 6 till 8, perhaps you could go along to this before you head along to the Ghost Stories. Thursday 16th, 6 till 8, at the Lost Soul and Stranger Service Station. That's the old barber shop on at just next door to the Blue Coat. There's an exhibition there. What's this exhibition about? Ian, is it perchance about the exhibition is called 12,586 and documents and responds to some of the impacts of the housing market renewal on Liverpool and in particular to the area around Edge Lane with artist Katrina Beales.
Nina Edge and Neringa Plange. Yeah, 1,002, no, sorry, 12,586. I don't know what that refers to, but something to do with Edge Lane and the proposed development there and knocking down the houses, etc., which these artists have particular interest in. We certainly know Nina Edge's campaign about the housing issues, especially the Welsh streets over recent years. And Katrina Beales, I think she lives in this area and has been studying what's going on. The Lost Soul and Stranger Service Station, that name gives us some problems because it's so long and nobody knows where it is, but it is the barber shop that used to be next to the Blue Coat is now sort of part of the Blue Coat or annexed to the Blue Coat, and is used for these temporary exhibitions by various groups, usually artists that have studios in Blue Coat actually. And so there's the exhibition which opens on this Thursday, 6 till 8, and then it's open from noon till 6 p.m. until 30th of July. And then if you want to hear more about it sounds like an interesting project. There's a talk on the next day, Friday the 17th, oh, in the morning, 11:30 till 12:30, at the gallery space.
And that's with artist Nina H. That should be really good, as you said. Nina, she's been on tonight with Trevor McDonald. She's had David Cameron up to look at the Wells Street. She's been a real advocate and campaigner for keeping these houses and the Wells Street and, you know, Edge Lane. So it's really good to see that she's involved in this this exhibition. Now, that was so that talk is on the Friday. On the Thursday, going back to the Thursday night, same night as the 12,586 show opens, there's a photographic memory group show. Where's this at? Tell us a little more.
Yeah, this is the latest at Egg Space, the Egg Cafe on Newington, created as normal by Headspace. And as normal, again, it's a group exhibition, but this time it's all photography. That's called Photographic Memory. So lots and lots of artists, lots and lots of photographers involved in that. Seen some of the images, which look pretty good. So go along to the opening on Thursday 16th, 7 till 9, and then it'll be on for about a month from then.
Okay, now, the next night, The Magnificent Seven. I so wish I could remember the theme tune to The Magnificent Seven so I could have, you know, drummed us in one way, shape, or form. The Magnificent Seven at Editions. What's this about? So this is the private view is on Friday the 17th of July, 6 till 8 at Editions. What's the show about?
Yeah, they're called Magnificent Seven. It's seven local artists who sort of specialise in illustration and prints, that sort of thing. So there's etchings, dry points, screen prints, some really nice illustrations. The exhibition is actually on now. It's already up there, but it's a sort of delayed viewing for some reason. So yeah, you can go along to the private view on Friday the 17th, 6 till 8, or pop in any time to have a look at the exhibition up until the 31st of July. The artists are Rhonda Davis, Kieran Finity, Neil Keating, Mary Lundquist, Philip Marsden, Louise Morgan, and Jane Spencer. Yeah, they're all really good artists. We've seen their work a lot. They've actually set up a blog, which I can't remember the. It's something like Liverpool Illustrators Blogspot or Illustrators Liverpool Blogspot or something.
Excellent. Okay, well, let's have a look out for that, Liverpool Illustrators Blogspot. The same night, now this is a big one. This is the festival, the Liverpool Arabic Weekender, the Liverpool Arabic Arts Festival starts this Friday. I'm going to miss the Friday. I'm not going to be able to attend, which is going to be a bit harsh. But there's a fun-packed weekend. I'd been down to the last time it was on the Blue Coat. They had all sorts of things going on. They had barbecues, all sorts of things. Hopefully it'll be the same this weekend. What's going on?
Yeah, that's right. It's the Arabic Arts Festival, but just for a long weekend. I think last year it went on longer. The exhibitions lasting quite a while, but just a long weekend. This time, Friday to Sunday, 17th and 19th. So yeah, there's music, film, food, literature, lots of family activities, and music at the Blue Coat, even hip hop, underground hip hop. About experiences of life in Palestine. Family day at the Blue Coat on the Saturday, 12 till 5, with a typical Arabian bazaar.
I wanted to do bazaar.
With activities for the whole family. Actually, we passed the Blue Coat this Saturday, and there's a barbecue. I think they're having a barbecue every Saturday in the courtyard there anyway. So, that'll be good. Well, so stuff for the Philharmonic Hall as well. It's not all Blue Coat. It's various venues. So some concerts there at the Philharmonic, especially on the Saturday evening. So check that out for details. And fact, films, a fact, Salt of the Sea, award-winning romance about Brooklyn-born Palestinian who returns to her homeland. So yeah, there's a website, arabicartsfestival.co.uk.
So don't take that as the full listings. There is more stuff going on for the Arabic Weekender, because I know I'll be wanting to find out some more information, because I know it's going to be very entertaining, and I'm really, looking forward to it. Now, also, if you're not going along to any of that, how could you? But if you're living over on the Wirral, you might well be interested in this. What's this about, Ian? Newer 2009, N-E-W-A. What does it stand for? What's going on?
I can't remember what NEWA stands for now. What's something wildlife art, isn't it? This is an exhibition that's been going on many years, and it's been at various venues. For a few years, it was at the car showrooms at Man Island. But now it closed, and now it's demolished. They're building apartments. And so they're building a new open eye gallery there, aren't they, on that spot. So now this exhibition of wildlife art is, in recent years, it's moved to Gordale Garden Centre on the Wirral. It's on that road that heads down towards Chester, towards near Nest Gardens. There's a big garden centre there called Gordale, which has like a sort of separate area away from where all the plants are for sale. There's another space you can go around. I used to go to this when it was a Man Island, just because they're really good, technically really good pictures, paintings of wildlife, tigers, elephants, birds, all kinds. And so it might not be sort of cutting edge contemporary stuff, but it's just really good, really, really nice pictures of animals. Yeah, and it's the largest open exhibition of wildlife art in the UK. And so you can go along and buy stuff and have a look at the really good artwork. So it's on from the 17th of July until the 2nd of August.
Now, strangely, I have been on to see one of these shows when it was at Man Island, and it was a really good show. And was it inside a car showroom, or was it next door to the car showroom? But it was absolutely fantastic, because you'd walk around the corner and you'd be like, my God, what's this? What's going on here? Why is there a tiger jumping out at me at this thing? Yeah, absolutely fantastic. So well worth a visit.
That's right, yes. Yeah, I can't remember which cars. It was quite Porsche or something like that, wasn't it? Really good cars. But you had to wander past these cars, try not to buy any of those on the way, and go upstairs to the gallery space. So it's a bit different at Gordale. You come away with a few plants as well. There's over 350 works, and it's free to enter, free to go in.
Excellent. And so that's coming up this week. Further ahead, Ian, what else we've got coming up? Slow Magic, Thursday, 30th of July at the Blue Coat. This sounds very interesting indeed. Show at the Blue Coat. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I don't know much about the artist, but we've seen some of the images and they just look really interesting. It's called Slow Magic. They're sort of playful and enchanting images. Six international artists. And if you go along to the viewing on a Thursday, 30th of July, so it's a couple of weeks off, 6 or 8, there will actually be some magic going on, I think, as well as the usual drinks and other entertainment. Magic, and there'll be various other talks and activities. So, I'm really looking forward to that one.
You know what? The Blue Coat has some absolutely fantastic shows, doesn't it? Absolutely. Isn't Brian brilliant?
Brian is brilliant, yes. And, doing a really good job. So, keep it up.
Now, also coming up after the magic is Saturday the 1st of August. Oh, this is miles away. But Saturday the 1st of August, Brouhaha International Street Festival 2009. This is
Brouhaha. Yes. One of our favourite annual festivals. It's summer, isn't it? The sun will be out again, hopefully, by then. And so it actually starts, the Brouhaha thing starts on the 19th of July, but they do lots of, like, they go around various community places, schools, etc., with the smaller, some of the performers that come from all over the world, like over 300 groups of performers from all corners of the globe, coming to Liverpool, and so they go around various places doing that, and then it sort of climaxes in this, the big parade on the Saturday, the 1st of August, which starts next door to us here on Myrtle Street, and it goes down to Princess Park, and then there for the whole day with all kinds of bands and performances, food. A really great day.
It has been fantastic weather over the past few years, so it is kind of fingers crossed that it's really good weather that night. But it's great because there's thousands of people piling down Princess Avenue to get into the park, and people stand there and watch the procession go by. It's fantastic. But it made a big impression on the blogosphere, so to speak, last year. Lots of pictures out there, Brouhaha. Great day.
Yeah, actually, that just reminded me that trying to promote Princess Avenue, there's a thing this Sunday, which I forgot to mention, the gathering. Which is a gathering of actually it's on the big island in the middle of Prince's Park, Prince's Boulevard, isn't it? So they have all kinds of stalls, and again, more music and arts and craft and food, and they call it the Gathering. That's this Sunday the 19th.
It does spring to mind, though. It does make me think, we really should come up with a different name for Princess Road, Princess Avenue, or Princess Boulevard. Come up with one name for it and just stick to it, because it's kind of, everyone gets confused. I always just call it Princess Avenue, whether it's Princess Road, Princess Avenue, it's Princess Avenue to me.
Yeah, because it does actually have different names, because that island, traffic island in the middle, one side is Road or Avenue, and the other one is Boulevard, actually. Yeah, strange idea.
Anyway, so it's down Princess Avenue. That's the Gathering this Sunday, which is Sunday the 19th. There we go. But anyway, also coming up much further ahead, Saturday the 1st of August, 2009, this year, the Fab Collective at St. Luke's Church. The Fab Collective. Now, people have been twittering about the Fab Collective and about what they're planning on doing and what are they doing and whereabouts. And so it's good to see that a venue has been chosen, and the show is going to open on the 1st of August, as we've said. But Liverpool Photographers, what's it about? What are Liverpool Photographers? Who are these people?
Yeah, the Fab Collective is quite a large group of Liverpool photographers, or at least Merseyside photographers. Some of them, we know quite well, like Pete Carr and others. I probably see their images quite a lot on the internet and in the papers and all kinds, and they just decided through Twittering, I suppose, and Facebook and so on, they sort of communicated more and said, well, why don't we actually form a collective and do stuff as a group? And so a while ago they did one where they went around Liverpool just taking pictures of people in the street, and they put all that on their website, fabcollective.com, I presume. And so they're having an exhibition, and this thing that really interests me is how they're going to have a month-long exhibition of photographs in the bombed-out church. How do you do? You know, you can't put stuff on those frail brick walls. There's no roof, etc. So that I'm really interested in seeing how they're going to get around those logistics, as well as looking at the great photographs.
So you mean to tell me you've never been down the cellar?
The cellar is there one.
Yeah, of course there is. All those buildings have cellars. I've been down that little look. Admittedly, it's not very big. It's probably bigger than the Arena Gallery. I'm not suggesting for a moment that that's where they're going to exhibit, but there is a cellar. It's going to be tricky, isn't it? It's going to be trickier than how they're going to do it.
Yeah. No, I don't think I'll go down to the cellar. I've seen, that's the one place in Liverpool where I always see loads of rats running around those streets there. So, no, I don't think I'll be going down there. But it should be a good show anyway. So it opens on Saturday the 1st of August, and it goes right through to the end of August.
Now, okay, we were only, okay, there is a real cellar at the underneath the bombed out church, and if you are interested, they are looking for people to give them a hand, clear out and do X, Y and Z around there to, there's always, you know, rubbish to be cleared out, and it's as soon as they get rid of the rubbish, they can start renovating it underneath there. Anyway, that's something to look forward to in a couple of years to come. There'll be all sorts of things going on there. So for this week, Ian, we bring the show to a close, and as we do, I would like to say thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'd also like to say there's rather a lot coming up.
As always.
Thank you and good night.
Thanks for downloading from DefNet Media.